Good morning. The reading is from Numbers, the 21st chapter. Though God provides food and water for the Israelites in the wilderness, they whine and grumble. They forget about the salvation they experienced in the Exodus. God punishes them for their sin, but when they repent, God also provides a means of healing, a bronze serpent lifted up on a pole. A reading from Numbers. From Mount Hor, the Israelites set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom, but the people became impatient on the way. Excuse me. The people spoke against God and against Moses. "Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? There is no food and no water, and we detest this miserable food." Then the Lord sent poisonous serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many Israelites died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned by speaking against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord to take away the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said to Moses, "Make a poisonous serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten shall look at it and live." So Moses made a serpent of bronze and put it upon a pole. And whenever a serpent bit someone, that person would look at the serpent of bronze and live. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Please stand as you are able to receive the gospel. To explain the salvation of God to the religious leader Nicodemus, Jesus refers to the scripture quoted in today's first reading. Just as those who looked upon the bronze serpent were healed, so people will be saved when they behold Christ lifted up on the cross. This is a reading from John chapter 3. Jesus said, just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world and people love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come into the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come into the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God. The gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. So a doctor, a nurse, and a top executive of an HMO have died and are in line together at the pearly gates. St. Peter speaks with them and asks them what good they have done in their lives. The doctor says, "I have devoted my life to the sick and needy and have had a part in caring for and healing thousands of people." St. Peter replies, "That's great. Go ahead into heaven. And what about you?" The nurse states, "I have supported doctors and their patients my entire life as an adult, have taken time to explain things to patients, and have helped them lead healthy lives." "Wonderful. Please proceed in with the doctor. And what about you?" The HMO executive says, "I was the president of a very large health maintenance organization. I was responsible for the health care of millions of people all over the country." St. Peter says, "Oh, I see. Please go on in. but you can only stay two nights. Well, this joke illustrates what we don't believe, and that is that we're judged on our works. We are not judged on our works because that judgment has been taken away by Jesus on the cross. In today's Old Testament lesson, I love the Old Testament because people look so bad. It's not like the Acts of the Apostles, where everybody, you know, is just, they're so perfect, and they suffer through torture, and they sing hymns, and no matter what, they're perfect. But in the Old Testament, you have reality, and people are complaining. Humans are complainers, you gotta admit. You know, we get what we wish for, and then we find something to complain about in those things. And so the Israelites are complainers. They have been freed from slavery, and they're going through the wilderness, following Moses through the wilderness, following the pillar of cloud, following God through the wilderness, and they complain. First, they complain there's no food. God sends manna, something for them to eat. And then they complain that the food isn't any good. Eventually, God sends quail, and so they can eat quail, and that's not good enough either. Always complaining. And they're complaining to Moses, and God gets them, sends poisonous serpents to bite them, and some of them die. And they cry out, they repent, and they say, we're really sorry, we should not have criticized God. This is kind of a fantastic story, isn't it? I mean, we in our modern sensibilities, we kind of think, oh, this never really happened. We have to be careful to project our modern sensibilities back on ancient times. And we often lose we focus on details and we lose the true essential meaning. What's the meaning? And the meaning is that people are broken and that God continually has to reach out and work with them and save them through Moses, through the prophets, eventually through Jesus. We lose that meaning because we focus so much on the details. So God says to Moses, make a serpent, a bronze serpent, and put it up on a pole. That's the connection to the joke. You ever been to a doctor's office? It has that caduceus, which is the snake on the pole. You ever notice that? And that comes from this story. The healing of the Israelites. God does not take the serpents away. It seems like they still get bitten, but they look at the pole, and then they don't die. They're healed. And so Jesus is also lifted up on a pole for our healing. The gospel says he was lifted up. So must the Son of Man be lifted up so that all who believe might have eternal life. The word lifted up, the original Greek word is hypsu, can be translated two ways. One is lifted up and one is exalted. And like John, like the Gospel of John, there's always double meanings. They're both true. Jesus is lifted up on the cross against his will, but that's also his exaltation. In the Gospel writer's mind, Jesus being lifted up on the cross, lifted up in resurrection, lifted up in ascension, that these are all the same things. They are Jesus' glorification. Jesus heals us by his being lifted up on the cross. Now, what's the context of this? Do you remember Nicodemus? Nicodemus comes to Jesus by night. Nicodemus is in the dark. And part of that complaining thing, he's sent by people who are complaining about Jesus. Who is this guy? Go find out about him so we can figure him out. Jesus, who was a challenge to the establishment. So Nicodemus goes to Jesus by night. He goes in the dark. And Jesus talks about being born of water and spirit, being born from above, born from up, born from the top. That word is always translated that way, in that Jesus is from up, we are from below. We are born from above in the waters of baptism. And Nicodemus can't understand this. He misunderstands it and says, how can one be born again? Can one enter a second time into the mother's womb and be born? No, born from above, born from water and spirit. And so everyone here, almost everyone here, I'm going to do some baptisms coming up in a few weeks, are born of water and spirit. You are born and you are healed by the man on the pole, Jesus Christ. This is a gift to us, and any good works that we do is a response to that. In today's lesson from Ephesians that we didn't read, the apostle talks about how we are saved by grace through faith and not by any work we do. But then the last verse says, so we do good works. We do good works. We're born to do good works, not because that somehow gets favor for us before God, but that's what we're supposed to do because we have been favored by God. God has favored us in Jesus Christ. We have some verses after this now that talk about darkness. You know, some people stay in the dark. They don't want their deeds exposed. And we're probably all a little bit like that too. You know, it's like we don't want to expose everything to God. We don't want God to see us completely. We'd rather hide some things from God. We'd rather not have light shown on it. Some of us would rather stay in the dark. I know men have a tendency with medical healing. Men have a tendency not to go to the doctor. I hope you guys are all the exception here. But, you know, it's kind of like, well, I don't know if I want to know what's wrong with me. Some men even say, you know, if I'm dying, don't tell me about it. Rather than going to the doctor and being healed, or at least have a chance for healing, right? That's a pride thing, I think. And perhaps men are not the only one who have pride. We have our brokenness. We have envy. We have pride, hypocrisy, these things that are human. We are complainers, right? We always want more. Even when something good happens to us. We had challenges with having children, and we eventually, I won't go through the gory details, but eventually were able to have a child. It was such a blessing. And of course, you know, my wife and I have crazy schedules, and of course, I was left alone with this child a lot. And after a while, I was like, oh, this is a lot of work. I tried not to complain to God. I tried to always have, you know, this is my gift. This is my gift. I prayed for this gift. But man, what a hassle it is. We are complainers. We are people who have pride, pride that's not right. We practice hypocrisy, whether we want to or not. We tend to react rather than act. There's a lot of things where we fall short. You know, one definition of sin is the arrow on the target. You know, we miss the target. We don't hit the bullseye. You got to admit that. We don't always get the bullseye. Let the light of Christ shine on us. That is what we're about during Lent. Open up. Look at ourselves. Acknowledge we need a Savior. We need a man on the pole for us. We need to realize that we are God's no matter what. No matter how much we fall short, we are God's through Jesus Christ. And God will work through us, complaining people. This is the material that God works through. You know, the church, we are not the end. The church, we are the means to the end. That God so loved the world, we are the means to the end to bring about God's light in the world. You are children of the light. You are children of the light. You have been chosen. You have been chosen through baptism. Yes, you can choose to remain in the dark. You can do that. But I think we all want to have the light shine in us and the light shine through us. The light shine through us into this dark world. It's a world that needs you, that needs you and me to love neighbor, to even pray for our enemies. That's what it calls for. A world of peace. This is what the world needs. And as baptized children of a God, you are sent forth to be that representative. To know that, yes, you do fall short, but you are forgiven and you have the promise of eternal life. You are healed by the man on the cross because he defeated the power of death and sin on that cross. And we have some nourishment for the journey. It sounds like a tough journey, but we have the food we need. Christ's very body and blood. A little piece of bread, a little sip of wine to remind us that we are children of the light. So come and be nourished by that meal. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the light of this day. It is so bright out. We thank you. We thank you that no matter where we are in our darkness, that your light shines into us. Help us to reach out to be healed by the man on the cross. Help us to share love with our neighbors. All these things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.